Our Old Testament reading is from Ruth, chapter 4, reading from the Message version of the Bible and beginning with verse 13. Boaz married Ruth. She became his wife. Boaz slept with her, and by God's gracious gift, she conceived and had a son. The town women said to Naomi, "Blessed be God. He didn't leave you without family to carry on your life. May this baby grow up to be famous in Israel. He'll make you young again. He'll take care of you in old age. And this daughter-in-law who has brought him into the world and loves you so much, why, she's worth more to you than seven sons." Naomi took the baby and held him in her arms, cuddling him, cooing over him, waiting on him hand and foot. The neighborhood women started calling him Naomi's baby boy. But his real name was Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, we just did one of the things I try never to do when I open up a new book. We went straight to the end and we read the last chapter. Basically, we just heard, "And they lived happily ever after," without ever hearing any of the details of the once upon a time. So let me remind you just a few things about the story of Ruth, which, by the way, might be more accurately named the story of Naomi. Well, Ruth and Naomi's story is a story of faithfulness. It is a story of openness and trust, a story of tearful endings and joy-filled beginnings. It is a story we have all experienced to one degree or another. Ruth was a Moabite girl who married into Naomi's family, a family of Israeli immigrants who had moved to the country of Moab because there was a famine going on back home in Bethlehem, in the country of Judah. The fact that they even moved to Moab is remarkable because there was a historic culture clash between Israelites and Moabites. There was hatred, hard feelings. There was discrimination and disdain. So years before Ruth ever entered the picture in this story, Naomi and her family decided to break through the centuries thick walls of prejudice by picking up their stakes in Bethlehem and immigrating to Moab. I'm sure some of their neighbors back home in Bethlehem must have cut them off at that point. "You're going to live where?" Good riddance. But they went. And apparently, Naomi's family went open to the possibility of building bridges, not walls, with the people of Moab. Unfortunately, tragedy soon struck when Naomi's husband died, and she was left alone to raise her two sons in a very distant country. When her sons both married local girls, I doubt, by the way, many friends traveled from Bethlehem to attend those weddings, but when they married those local girls, Naomi probably thought that finally she would feel permanently settled in this new land where her grandchildren seemed destined to be born. But then within about 10 years' time, both of her sons died before having any children. Well, Naomi couldn't take much more tragedy and loss in her already grief-filled lifetime. She felt like God had given her a very bitter pill to swallow. All of her security had been painfully stripped away from her, and she desperately needed to find something stable, something familiar, to give her the strength she needed to keep going. And so as soon as Naomi heard that the famine was over in her native land of Judah, she decided to go back home to Bethlehem. Naomi advised her two daughters-in-law to stay in their own country and to try to find new husbands there. Maybe Naomi was trying to burn her bridges before she left so that the pain she'd been experiencing wouldn't follow her home. Maybe she thought if she allowed herself to believe that someone was truly there for her, God would take them away again. and she couldn't bear the thought of any more pain. Better if everyone just went their own way and did their own thing. Well, whatever that barrier was, Ruth was determined to break through it. Her fierce love and loyalty to her mother-in-law was most beautifully expressed in a saying I'm sure you have all heard. Do not urge me to go back and desert you. Wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I shall die, and there be buried. I solemnly declare before the Lord that nothing but death will part me from you. Ruth cared so very deeply for this woman who had become like a mother to her. And she wasn't about to leave her when the chips were down. Naomi had lost hope, but Ruth hadn't. She knew that together they could survive the losses and the pain. When Ruth expressed that beautiful vow of loyalty, even Naomi could not doubt her sincerity. And so they returned to Bethlehem to make a fresh start together. The story ends happily, as we've heard. Ruth takes a liking to a farmer named Boaz, who can't believe that a woman as beautiful and loving as she was could ever fall for an ordinary old guy like him. They get married, and they have a son named Obed. And Naomi moves in to help with the baby and finds security for the rest of her life. Again, this is a remarkable story because of the ability of the community in Bethlehem to set aside their prejudices against Moabites and to eventually welcome this stranger from a despised land into their midst. Even more remarkable when you realize that at just about the same time as Naomi's story was unfolding, Governor Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem after the Jews had returned from exile and purging that city from anything foreign, including, and maybe especially, foreign wives. There was a great fear that their culture, their language, and their faith might be entirely lost after coming back from so many years of captivity in a foreign land. And so we see two very different attitudes and priorities. Preservation and survival in Jerusalem, and inclusion and openness in Moab and Bethlehem with Ruth and Naomi. Preservation requires the building of walls. Inclusion requires the building of bridges. Both require the permission and the participation of the community involved, and both, I suppose, are understandable in certain circumstances. Yet, if we look at the life and the ministry of Jesus, we see someone who chose time and time again to build bridges, not walls. We see someone who built bridges to the most unlikely people. Sinners, demoniacs, tax collectors, clean and unclean women, Roman soldiers, Samaritans, the list was long. I wonder what Jesus would think about some of the visible and invisible walls that are present in our world today. Like the 25-foot-tall concrete security barrier that, ironically, now rings the city of Bethlehem today. Begun in 2002, the wall was built by the Israeli government to keep potential suicide bombers from entering Israel through Palestinian territory. The Israeli government and its supporters view the wall as necessary to their security and their safety, while Palestinians and their supporters see it as a form of apartheid. The bottom line is that if the Magi or Ruth were trying to get into Bethlehem today, they would have to go through some pretty serious security screening to ever enter that city. Now, when you approach that wall from the Israeli side, there's a large, colorful sign painted on it near one of the guard towers saying in English, Hebrew, and Arabic. Peace be with you. Approach it from the Palestinian side, and you see much darker images. A snake curling its way down the wall toward the checkpoint. A picture of a dove of peace wearing a flak jacket, and signs spray painted in English and Arabic saying, God will tear down this wall. The Bethlehem Wall is a place of deep sadness and contrast for people on both sides, most of whom would rather simply live together in peace. The wall's construction has left that city of Bethlehem struggling economically. Unemployment is high, and people often wait in lines hours long to be cleared to cross the barrier to go to jobs over on the Israeli side. It is a reminder to us that whenever walls are erected for whatever reason, suffering and a lack of hope will soon follow for those involved. I wonder what Jesus would think about the barrier being erected on our own southern border as a consequence of the war on terror. Methodist pastor John Fanastil wrote about the changes that are soon to be coming in a recent article in Christian Century, and I quote, "This transformation is about to reach its symbolic and geographic culmination at Friendship Park, a plaza atop a seaside bluff south of San Diego. For generations, residents of San Diego and Tijuana have gathered at Friendship Park to visit family and friends through the border fence. In coming months, the Department of Homeland Security will erect a secondary fence across the park, eliminating public access to this historic meeting place. Until that time, Reverend Fanastil will continue, he said, to serve communion to the families and the friends gathered each Sunday afternoon, distributing the elements through the border fence." Friends, I believe that it is human nature to build barriers and walls, to keep out that which frightens us or is too different from us or that threatens our current level of comfort and security. I believe that it is God's nature to tear them down. You can build a barrier that prevents the bread and the wine from being physically passed through that border fence, but nothing is going to stop the grace and peace of Christ from entering into any of those people's hearts or circumstances. You can build a wall around the city of Bethlehem, but you are not going to stop the good news of Christ's birth from its mission of bringing justice and peace to all people. You can become imprisoned by a wall of grief or sadness or fear of what the future may bring, but you will not be alone because Jesus has promised never to leave you or forsake you. Naomi thought her life was over, the final chapter written. She had forgotten that a chapter named Ruth had been added to her story. And because Ruth refused to be written out of the plot, their friendship and their story continued, held together by the bridge of their commitment to one another. And that commitment led to the marriage of Ruth and Boaz in Bethlehem, and to the birth of a child named Obed, who was the father of Jesse, the father of David, among whose descendants was another baby born in Bethlehem a few centuries later, named Jesus. And we have all become a part of his story. For in Christ, all barriers have been broken down. In Christ, there is no longer Israelite or Moabite, persons of color and white, male and female. In Christ, there is no longer rich or poor, red states and blue states, homosexual and heterosexual, tent city residents and Mercer Island residents. No. For on this worldwide Communion Sunday, people all around the world are being reminded that the dividing walls between us have been broken down, praise God, and all of us are one in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. God of grace that never ends, and love that has no boundaries or barriers, flow into our hearts and into our church and into our land to give us courage to build bridges and not walls, courage to deconstruct walls that are offensive to you, and courage to reflect your hope into this hope-starved world. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen.